Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Sis Lulu, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Malote. Good afternoon to the listeners.
How are you today?
I'm good. I was smiling when you said you are sad because I was like, I'm so happy. I'm tired. It's been a long day. So now I'm starting now to not smile in my voice. So I'm like, okay, you might as well just say it.
Oh man, sad day for us here because we have been enjoying this. I can feel the voice. You're quite happy and excited because you are going to be resting.
Yes. Oh, I'm really quite happy. It's been a long year. I really am tired.
I can imagine.
I am tired. So I'm really looking forward to resting everything just so that I can rest. But I am really also sad a bit because I really love empowering. I love sharing the piece of freedom that God has given me. So I really, really am also a bit sad that I'm not going to be sharing anymore. But I'm hopeful that there is still the future. If God is still allowing, there is still going to be more time. Because really, we just covered just a tiny, tiny thing about what is also out there. And I'm very excited, Zama, that you had me. Thank you very much for hosting me. I really, really have enjoyed having these conversations with you. You are a very, very good facilitator of a conversation.
Oh, man, lovely. Kind words indeed. Kind words indeed. Now, let's get to it. And a couple of weeks, actually, we've been blessed by these conversations relating to our own relationship dynamics and communication, helping us to elevate really to a level that will bring a peace of heaven into our homes. And so we conclude today's session with a recap of some of our main talking points over the last couple of weeks. So firstly, we've covered so much over the duration of this series, healthy boundaries, differentiation, symbiosis, etc. But if you are to narrow down to at least where we begin in terms of improving our relationship, relationships, where would that be?
Zama, what I've discovered with people is that sometimes you become overly excited and you are very impulsive and you don't sit down and reflect. Now, what happens is that along the way you get discouraged because you hear something about someone who's into this diet, you're so excited, things are going to work, and then you start it. Then along the way, it doesn't work, you hear about something else. So the one thing that I usually advise couples is whenever you are reflecting on your relationship, especially when you've been listening maybe to a series or maybe you attended a retreat, instead of you just jumping into applying things, sit back first and look at the relationship itself. Do the SWOT analysis of your relationship.
Okay.
When you do that, you are able to do the analysis and identify the strengths, what you already have. You're not just appreciating and building upon what you already have. So sit down and look at the strength of the relationship. What do we do well as a couple? What are our shared goals and values? You know, what are we already applying? Are we dating each other? How are we supporting each other? You are looking at the strength. And then secondly, of course, you go and you look at, okay, what needs to improve now? What, based on what you know, where do we need to improve, you know, so that you can be proactive. You are looking at, okay, what are the recurring conflicts and issues that we are facing here? Are there communication barriers maybe that we are struggling with? Is there a way maybe where we are failing to meet each other's needs? Are there maybe issues that have been raised there that we know that in our relationship, they still are areas of growth? You are looking at the weaknesses that you have been identified and areas where you feel like the relationship needs to maybe improve. And then, of course, you look at opportunities. What are the opportunities? Both external and internal that are going to strengthen the relationship. So what external resources? Do we maybe perhaps need to go for counseling? Have some of the issues that have been brought up maybe of such a nature that you feel like you might need someone with gifted hands, you know? Are there new experiences or challenges that we can face together? What are the opportunities there? Maybe from these, we have seen that, you know what? We no longer travel together. We no longer date each other. We don't sit down and plan. We don't have a relationship vision. So when you're looking at that, you're looking at, so what opportunities are there that are available based on the information or the knowledge that you have just received? And of course, also identifying the threats. Identify things the factors that could harm the relationship, and talk about those things. Is maybe work stress impacting our relationship, financial challenge. So just have the conversation. Sit and look. You know, Zama, a relationship is a living organism. Take it out and put it here and look at it.
Yeah.
Interrogate it. And interrogate it like there's no conflict here. We're not accusing each other here. We're not defending each other. We're just going to be okay, so that 10 years of living together, let's look at it. What does it look like? Mm-hmm. What does it look like? When you can do that, then you are able to identify now areas of growth, potential areas that are high risk. Do that. When you do that, Zama, it can lead to something sustainable. Instead of doing this hit and run out of excitement and getting carried away.
Yeah.
For me, the first thing is always, when I attend retreat, Zama, I don't get excited and I make decisions that are very, very serious. I will come back and I'll sit with it. I'll sit with the information. I'll sit with the knowledge. I'll sit with the resources. And then I'm like, I know one thing in my life that I need to up my game on is my devotional life. Let me sit, just target one targeted area. And don't just be all over the show. Sometimes we're all over the show. We are trying to catch the lion and the tiger. Trying to catch the monkey there. No. If you feel like it's the monkey that is the main thing that you want to address, let's talk and deal with the monkey. That's where you are able to do something that is going to be sustainable.
Mm. And it needs, of course, both partners to be willing to sit around the table in a very mature manner. I like what you said, that it's a no-blame game. We're just sitting and we're looking at the SWOT analysis and we're trying to see where our weaknesses and improvement areas are at. I loved that, actually. Now, Webb, take us to the otherness of the other. The topic one may want to clarify. How does one healthily maintain individuality within a relationship without alienating, you know, the partner? And there's a danger of finding joy in company of another who shares the same hobbies, likes, etc., while the other is othering.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Now that is something very important, especially the last part where you are saying isn't there also danger of finding joy in the company of others, you know, who share the same hobbies. However, for me, unless this is a threat, then there is no danger. I mean, you do find joy in your friends, right? When you speak about with them about soccer or choral music, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you have got friends, like-minded friends, and your partner is aware, they know that you are all into comrades running. My husband runs comrades marathon. He spends hours preparing with Pastor Ngwenya or on the phone with Pastor Papu. And that othering is okay with me because it is something communicated. So I feel like sometimes what challenges the othering is when individuality is not maintained with respect and transparency. You understand? There has to be transparency, respect, mutual agreement, and encouragement. So when there is that, then it's going to become a source of strength. But if you are just gallivanting, Zama, doing your own thing, no transparency, this has not been communicated, and sometimes it's even eating away at the finances of the family, it's eating away the time, it's eating away the energy, but there has been no mutual discussion, agreement around this thing, then this is going to be a challenge. For an example, think about my husband. Now we are headed towards the Congress Marathon in June. Do you know how much it costs to register for that thing? It costs more than 1,000. Now, because I know this matters to him, this is important to him, this is a part of him that he owns, it's about him, and there's been transparency. So it's one of the goals in my family. We all zoom in. Zama, when it's Comrades Marathon, everyone comes home here. Whether you're in Cape Town or in Joburg, all of us, we spend the whole day on the road, we allow him to do him. So for me, sometimes it's just an issue of communicating it. But more than that, Zama, the other thing I've discovered is that because sometimes you don't have relationship visions. Now, remember, a relationship vision in marriage is what is going to serve as a guiding framework, right? It's going to help you to align your actions and values and goals. Now, the danger comes from the fact that because we don't have a relationship vision, there's nothing that is guiding us in terms of what are we doing together? How do we play together? What hobbies do we share together? What do we do for fun? And at the same time, what do I do with my own free time? How do I relate with my own which opposite? What do you do about the members of the opposite sex, you know, the opposite gender?
Mm-hmm.
So when there is no relationship vision, remember, any organization that does not have a vision, it's like a ship that is cruising on high seas, but there's no aim or direction.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
A relationship vision is a working document that has been signed by both partners, and it's always improved here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But when there's a relationship vision, these things are catered for. So there is no surprise here. I don't walk in and like, surprise, you know, I bought a car. No, the relationship vision clarifies every item
mm-hmm.
that is taking place or whatever is important in the relationship. So that is one way we are able to minimize communication, mm-hmm. transparency, agreement that is mutual, as well as maintaining respect within the relationship. That is going to help to a certain extent.
Yeah, but I like the fact that when you are allowing for the othering, you give them space, but at the same time, it looks like there's also support, you know, not only just give them space, because it would sound as though if you are giving them space, you are then ignoring and you are not interested in their interests, basically. So you are saying give them space to enjoy what they truly enjoy. But much as you are giving them space, find time to also see where you can support, where you can come in as a support structure. I think I love that approach as well.
Definitely. Sam. I don't like soccer, but my husband used to love soccer. He used to favor Orlando Pirates.
Mm.
I, because I'm interested in my husband, I support. You know, sometimes while you're sitting here watching soccer, can I get you something? Is your team winning? Sometimes I will even learn. I've had to learn some names of some players just so that he can have a conversation with me if there's no one here.
Yeah.
So I am allowing him to be an individual. But at the same time, I am around to support. I'm going to give another example, Zama.
Yeah,
I've got a group of friends that we meet once every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a secret to my husband. You know that twice a month, we've got virtual sessions. We are doing discussing girls' things. And he knows that the last week of November, we go away for a weekend. It is friends who are married. He knows these people. He knows the agenda. He knows the activities we get involved in. So in that case, he's very, very happy to allow me to go and be. And it's not threatening the container.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Because it's not forced upon him.
Yeah.
It is something he knows is very, very important for me. I need time, Zama, to go out and play with the other girls and be full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're full around, model, shout, you know, do girls things.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I need... You know, people grow old because they don't play.
Yeah,
but if it is catered for in their relationship vision, then my husband is okay with it.
Mm. I like
taking time out.
Mm. I like that you are saying that you don't spring up surprises on a partner. You know, and come end of November, on a Thursday, honey, I've got to leave. I'm going out with friends, and we're going to be coming back on Monday. Oh my goodness, who are these friends? And where are you guys going? You are saying to me that this has been communicated well in advance, and the other partner knows that there is this particular hobby that my spouse has, and of course you know the detail, and maybe at some point when you are chatting to him, you know, you find some certain views. For instance, you're going to be talking some girly stuff there, and I do know some girly stuff would involve partners, and maybe you would want to just get a view on, I wonder what males think about this, so that he also feels he's part of your journey, not so?
Zama, I ask him because he's a pastor. So what do you think men want to communicate to these women? You know, give me what are your friends saying? What are you guys saying? Where do you think we need to improve?
Mm.
And you know, my husband, one of the things he said to me last year was, okay, tell your friends that can girls stop buying and hiding things, you know. You know? Like I like what you're saying, that it's like there's also this bridge from his world into my world, but also impacting my friends,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, let's go to the last point, on to another interesting conversation that we had, which was about creating safety in the relational space. You know, one may be concerned about creating safety for abuse, as in, because my spouse is so forgiving, I can then continue to mistreat them because they've created such a safe space. I feel no consequences for my bad behavior. Just to clarify, creating a safety in the relational space, in as far as that subject was concerned.
So, yeah, and it's interesting that you actually brought up this question about safety for abuse, especially because in South Africa, it's that 16 days of activism against gender-based violence, mm-hmm. and indeed, many people have suffered more pain at the hands of their partners than they have at the hands of strangers. So it's quite important that we actually address this. You know, when I was thinking about it, Zama, two things came to my mind. One, it was a conversation we had about the dialogue. Remember when we were speaking about empathy?
Yeah.
You know, empathy, that as love matures and as we learn to hold our partner with gentleness, we learn to be more empathetic. We learn to abandon our world and cross over to imagine what the world is like from there and what our behavior is actually impacting them towards. Mm-hmm. That is the one thing. That dialogue is very important because it gets us to a point where not only do we allow our partner to communicate and we are listening proactively and we are mirroring, but we also get to the point where, okay, so I suppose when I speak to you in such a tone, it makes you feel disrespected. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel like you are not important. It makes you feel like you have nothing in the relationship. So that dialogue helps a lot in terms of helping us to learn how to empathize. But more than that, Zama, there is no way you can speak about safety and abuse in the same sentence, you know, because a safe space is one where I'm allowed to be. I'm allowed to be me, and where it is okay to be me without it impacting negatively on you. Mm-hmm. Remember the verse, Zama, there's no fear in love.
True.
There's no fear in love. Mm-hmm. So one of the most important things that we spoke about, and it was maybe the first session, was that, Zama, when you're speaking about building a safe relationship, mm-hmm. it's about an awareness about what I bring into the space. What energy, what words, what attitude, what habits, which is why we said you need them to be committed to the emotional safety of your partner. Remember, we spoke about things like not adding criticism, contempt, defensiveness, stonewalling. Mm. All these are things that are significant. We're not thinking about creating safety. It's like, Zama, I'm energy. When I walk in, what walks in? Mm-hmm. Exactly, that mindfulness. Mm. You know, we are coming out in the olden days where it was said, when Ubaba is coming home, if he's a lion, even the dogs and the cats go into hiding. See? Now, we are talking about Ubaba Malote, who, when you see the car walking down, everyone is like, death is here, joy is here, laughter is here, you know? Gifts are here, hugs are here, help is here, kindness is here. But unfortunately, when people have not dealt with their trauma, then they bleed onto people who did not cut them. But for me, I'm constantly aware in terms of when I'm going to meet my partner, what am I bringing into the space? You know, what am I bringing? So for me, Zama, can we take two things, intentionality and consciousness? Don't go to life in a daze. Don't go to life in a daze like you are drunk, like you are fast asleep. Wake up and be mindful about such things. Because creation of safety is exactly the antidote for abuse.
Well, what a mouthful. Thank you so much, Sis Lulu. I'm going to let you go now. Before I do, what is the one thing that you'd like to leave with our listeners? I do know that quite a number every week have been listening, giving us feedback literally from across our region, the SADC region. I mean, I got a couple of people in Zambia who have commented, a couple of people in Botswana who have been commenting, loving the content that you were giving us here and the advice. I mean, some I would meet in person to say, you know what, ever since we've been listening to Sis Lulu, we've tried some of these things, and man, what a thing she is doing. So I'd like you to just leave a last word as we are concluding this series.
Zama, thank you. I'm smiling from ear to ear. For me, one person that can be saved is more than enough. Just one person who can build a beautiful relationship. My last word would be to my listeners. Relationships are living organisms and they need to be treated as such.
Yeah.
We have to be intentional. Intentionality, Zama, and consciousness. A relationship is not going to build itself.
Oh, yes.
We need to just be intentional and committed. Yes.
Beautiful. Well, enjoy the festive season and make sure that you are refreshed and play as much as you can and rest as much as you can and receive the blessings of the Lord and greetings to the entire family. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Zama. I receive with gratitude and much thanksgiving in my heart. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.